Hey everybody, it's Kostaki Economopoulos. You probably missed me. I'm back. Back for a little All Pro Lines, the podcast. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Our old friend Brian Miller is here today. Seemed like a pretty obvious choice because he's one of the great friends of the podcast and the brand, and with the writing and the thing. And now we have a certain Kirk Cousins in common. Longtime Vikings fan, funny man Brian Miller will join us to discuss with longtime funny man and Falcons fan Kostaki Economopoulos, Kirk Cousins. It's going to be fun. A few housekeeping things here. I'm on the road, man. I'm doing some road stuff, and I've never been better. And come see me, Iowa this week. I've had that Iowa song in my head today. No, 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 no. Iowa. I don't know if anybody knows that. Anybody cares? That's me singing. Nobody wants that. That's for sure. All right. Burlington, Thursday. That's a big theater. That's Capitol Theater. Going to be awesome. Cedar Rapids, cool bar. Rochester, Minnesota on Saturday. That one's an Eagles club, and we loved it. I loved doing it a year ago, so I'm returning. In Clear Lake, we found a new place called The Boulevards. This fancy new restaurant there. It's not that new, a couple of years, whatever, but it's new to me. And I'm looking forward to doing those gigs. Also coming up, Napa. I'm doing a comedy festival in Napa, California. That sounds fancy. And then New Buffalo, Michigan, Peoria, recording the album. If anyone is in Central Illinois, come to those Peoria shows. Love to have some hardcore Kostaki fans in the audience for the album recording. Very excited about that. As you may know, I said goodbye to all of my stuff pre-pandemic and started over after COVID. So this is the result of that. An hour of good comedy. That's nothing repeating from the prior days. So it'd be nice to get that down. About 25 minutes of it is divorce and single and that chunk of stuff and some stories about what happened during COVID. And it's fun. It's good. It's going to be a good album. I'm excited about it. My boy, Aaron Hodges from You Lucky Dog Productions, formerly co-creator and host of this podcast. Aaron's going to come out and record it for me. He's the best. Underdog Fantasy is the home of best ball. If you've never done best ball, it's fantasy football without the you just draft, and then the computer figures out the best players at the positions for that week. So you don't do anything after that. And it's kind of fun to play in the offseason, do a little draft. I've actually done two already. I'm in the middle of one. I'm in a slow draft, which is really fun because you pick every like 6 or 8 hours, you know, is kind of the max you're allowed, and then they freeze it overnight. So every morning I wake up and see what's going on. Like, oh, I'm 12 picks away, and maybe a quarterback will fall to me still. And I just love it. I'm a nerd. Underdog Fantasy is the home for that. And of course, BetMGM is our other friend of the podcast. And those guys do more than just football. You can bet on lots of things, lots of other sports. Both of those links are in the social media platform sort of bio links. There's like a little clickable thing at the top of the Facebook page and the Instagram page and the Twitter page. Click on that and go to those links, and they'll hook you up with some really good deals to kind of get started if you use our link. So if you're interested in the gaming on the side, it's a little nod to help your favorite podcast or this podcast. All right. Let's do some jokes. Let's do some jokes.
2 minute drill.
Heather Saigo in the comments. Good to see you, Heather. It's this was sort of unannounced, and we haven't done one in a while, so we appreciate you following along closely enough to know to be here. Thank you very much. Most of you guys are listening in your ear holes later whenever you want, but we have a handful of Very supportive Facebook folks as well. And if you didn't know that, we do Facebook Live when we do the podcasts. It's a nice way to kind of get the word out. And it's another platform. If you want to engage live, you can ask questions and have comments and whatever you like. All right, let's do some jokes. The big story, at least for me as a Falcons fan, Kirk Cousins signed with Atlanta. Falcons fans are happy. In the South, we love Cousins. Kirk Cousins said the owner, the head coach, the GM, and the quarterback are all on the same page. That's fitting because Kirk has always looked good on paper. Well, it's the same page. It's what page is it? For the past three seasons, the Falcons have been stuck on the table of contents. So we are happy. Here's one of the questions I have for Brian Miller when he joins us. What is happening with the quarterback situation in Minnesota? That Haiti has a better succession plan. Sam Darnold, Nick Mullins, and Jaren Hall. Those are the current quarterbacks on the roster. Why are you paying Sam Darnold $10 million when you could get Russell Wilson for a 1.2? These are questions we're going to discuss with Brian. The Broncos took on an NFL record dead cap hit to release Russell Wilson. That's got to hurt. I've been fired 2, 3, 4 times in my life, depending on how you define these kind of things. But no one ever threw $85 million in the trash just to get me to leave. That's crazy. The Steelers are paying Russell Wilson $1.2 million this year. And the Broncos are paying the rest of $39 million. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. It's so weird. He's a bargain, $1.2 million. You know who should have signed him for that? The Broncos. Bargain quarterback's pretty good at what he does. I think the Broncos would have snapped him up. The Vikings, Patriots. There's a lot of teams that could use a bargain, pretty good quarterback. Same thing with Justin Fields. He was a steal, man. He's on his rookie contract, and he was a sixth round pick. Not even this season, 2025 sixth rounder. Conditional, I believe it's conditional. It could become a fourth rounder if he plays 51% of the snaps this year, which won't happen unless Russell Wilson snaps his Achilles. A lot of players moving teams, man. A lot of players changing teams. That's a phrase that can make people uncomfortable. The Alabama Supreme Court issued a statement. We don't like it. We don't like that one bit. What are the Cowboys doing in free agency? Nothing. It's like the Charlie Brown trick-or-treating. Like, I got Derrick Henry. I got Josh Jacobs. I got Saquon Barkley. I got a rock. Cowboys, you need a running back. There was like 10 good ones available, and you got exactly none of them. In fact, one of the ones that was good and went somewhere was your guy who went somewhere else. Sign a running back, you knuckleheads. I guess they're going to draft one. I don't know. The Chargers GM just flunked the keep, trade, cut exercise with Quentin Johnston, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams. What the hell are they doing? They cut Mike Williams and traded Keenan Allen. I saw a pic with Jim Harbaugh and his Mr. Magoo glasses, and I thought, oh, that's what happened. He was watching Quentin Johnston's tape without his glasses on. It's the only explanation. Aaron Rodgers is on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s shortlist to be vice presidential candidate. Finally, an answer to the question, what's shorter than Aaron's 2023 football season? His political career. This is proof that nobody thinks they can win. He already has a job that starts in August. Maybe Aaron was just annoyed that there was so much football news the last couple of weeks and he wasn't in it. Tell him I could be vice president. Give him a clip of me playing Twister with my new Achilles. Something. So with the Achilles, sparring about the coaching comments, the Pat McAfee show, Colin Kelce, Mr. Pfizer, the Epstein accusations about Kimmel, now talk of running for vice president. Aaron officially has more distractions than plays last season. He only had 4 plays. Aaron Rodgers. What a character. Justin Fields has unfollowed the Bears, so he's finally catching up with the rest of us. Unfollow. The Bears are going to spend $2 billion to build a stadium near Soldier Field. That's news to me. I didn't know, because they nixed their plans to move to the suburbs because at their current yardage rate, that could take 50 years. Boom. Recycle an old joke, made it new. That's how we do. The Rams signed Colby Parkinson. Their commitment to him appears to be shaky. Colby Parkinson comedy. Write your strongly worded emails. All right. Some fans at the Chiefs-Dolphins playoff game are facing amputations as a result of frostbite. You see, back in the good old days, seeing a playoff game didn't cost you an arm and a leg. But now, it's mostly toes from what I've read. Anyway, be careful out there, please. Going to see cold football. Apparently, it's dangerous. Jackson Mahomes got 6 months for probation for simple battery. Which is a funny phrase, you have to admit. As opposed to complicated battery, if you build a Rube Goldberg device with a marble that rolls down and tips a bucket of water, which trips a wire and launches a boxing glove into your girlfriend's head, that's complicated battery. That's a much more serious offense. All right, I'm going to read a quote, Johnny Manziel quote for you. After careful thought and consideration, I will be humbly removing myself from the Heisman Trophy ceremony until Reggie Bush gets his trophy back. Doesn't sit right with my morals and values. And that's when I choked on my sandwich. Doesn't sit right with my morals and values. What? Your giant balls, Johnny Manziel. If the Jags had re-signed Calvin Ridley, the Falcons would get a second-round pick. If the Jags cut Calvin Ridley, the Falcons would get a third-round pick. And if Calvin Ridley bet on the outcome, everybody's fucked. So I guess we got the middle. They didn't. They did some goofy gentleman's agreement and waited till the last minute and then traded him or cut him or signed him. I don't know exactly how it worked, but the Falcons get a third-rounder. Texas Tech's Tyler Owens is at the combine, say he doesn't believe in outer space or other planets. I think when Elon Musk tweets a dumb thing, which is about once a month at this point, his punishment should be having to talk to this kid for 20 minutes, right? He retweets some preposterous anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. He's like, oh, I got to go talk to Tyler Owens again. Shit. Tyler Owens, by the way, had the best broad jump. 12 broads. That joke is from 1972. The Panthers suck. Governor has asked for humanitarian aid. They're dropping food supplies, but the receivers can't catch them. It's an embarrassing situation. The Panthers are raising ticket prices, which begs the question, how will those people fit in the stadium along with David Tepper's giant testicles? It's a fair question. All right. Jimmy Graham. Listen to this story. Jimmy Graham was a gigantic fantasy superstar when he was a tight end for the Saints, and he played in the NFL forever. He is now retired. He is part of a four-person team that's going to row 1,000 kilometers across the Arctic Ocean. Listen to this. This trip's going to take about 16 days with each crew member rowing in two-hour shifts, 24 hours a day, and sleeping for no longer than 90 minutes in the off shift. 24 hours a day for 16 days in the Arctic Ocean. It's a shame. Jimmy Graham's never heard of golf. What a sad... Get a different hobby, you lunatic. This should be the punishment for using PEDs or something. Sorry about that, Jimmy Garoppolo. You're going to have to row across the Arctic Ocean for 16 days. They're going to partner with charities that support disadvantaged youth. All right. He wants to inspire disadvantaged youth. Maybe instead of a $100,000 carbon fiber vessel and all of the thousands of man hours of training and prep and effort that go into this, maybe you could just work directly with disadvantaged youth. Play Parcheesi with a kid and empathize with them about the challenges of having an alcoholic dad. Maybe a little more hands-on help. Jimmy Graham, you lunatic. The Jets are going to get new uniforms. Yeah, they want to sell tickets, they should remove the word Jets from their uniforms, replace it with Chiefs, and make the jerseys red. I think that would dramatically improve ticket sales. All right. You guys are nice. You guys are nice for joining us here. Gardner Minshew is now a Raider, and he talked about how much fun it is to have Max Crosby on his team. It's a lot more fun when he's on your team, right? And that's how I feel about Brian Miller. He's one of the best joke writers in America, and we're glad to have him on our team. Ladies and gentlemen, my buddy Brian.
Hello. I didn't write any of those. You can take that as a compliment or a disclaimer. Well, that's your choice. That's up to you.
That's right. There are a couple of those I could take back.
The Jimmy Graham thing is so true, though. I hate when people do things in the name of, I'm running a tough mutter to fight childhood rickets or whatever. And it's like, imagine if Jimmy Graham worked in a soup kitchen for 16 straight days and he only ever slept for brief 90-minute shifts. How many homeless people he could feed?
I know. And it's literally a $100,000 carbon fiber vessel.
Of course it is. You know, my uncle was lost at sea for 120 days in an experimental vessel like that.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. He set the world record at one point for longest time surviving being lost in this particular part of the ocean. He was on this like experimental sort of pontoon style craft that flipped. They made a movie about it starring Wentworth Miller, the guy from wrote a book.
I know this is a football podcast, but we have to hit pause and I get to hear briefly about this story. What was he doing? He was an experimental pontoon vessel in the Pacific Ocean?
Yeah, he was hanging out in New Zealand, and then he was a cook. And so he was going to be the cook on this boat, and they were like kind of trying it out of sorts. It was like a kind of like high-tech leisure vessel of sorts. And they're going to sail to some island and party for a weekend and then come back, and he's the cook on the boat. The boat hit by – it's an unflippable boat, except it's hit by a wave so big it flips it. So now it's upside down. They can't flip it back, and they're in the middle of the ocean.
So they sleep
in the upside down compartment of the boat underneath the bunks because now the air has come up to what was the floor at that point. And then in the daytime, they go on top of the boat and they fish and they collect rainwater. They survive for like 113 days.
Wait, they slept in the cabin underwater?
They swim down in there and then come back up underneath the cabin, and where there was that air pocket in there, and you could get back up there and stay.
But that air pocket's only got oxygen for like the first night, right?
I think it must be vented or something. I mean, they did it. I don't know why he would lie about the sleeping under the bunk part.
Oh, no, no, no. That's very interesting. Wow. And so how many of them were there?
It was him and I think it was three guys or four. I think it's three.
Lots of people died and three survived?
No. It was only three. It was like kind of like a test voyage. To like go to this little island for a weekend to like check the boat out and see how everything worked so that like they could take a bigger, you know, the captain could take a bigger voyage later. Wow. But obviously, tough test.
And then they were in the, just trapped on a boat for 3 months? Just the three of them?
Yeah, this was in the, so this would have been in the 80s. The book's called Capsize. You can buy it on Amazon. It's by Jim Nalepka. He was on Oprah and everything, yeah.
Wow, that's so interesting. Yeah. Wow, I love that.
But anyway, here's the thing. Jim didn't do that in anybody's name. He would have happily just come home and then, like, mowed some lawns. You know what I mean? Like, once you've eaten seaweed for 60 straight days, I don't think you start seeing the metaphorical value in supporting muscular dystrophy by building a rocket ship or something.
Yes, right. I know. That's the and I'm sure some good will come of it, and it is an amazing adventure and all that. But just when I read it, I was like, are you out of your fucking mind?
First of all, it is? And here's the thing. What I respect is, what this is Jimmy Graham, an incredible football player and an incredible athlete, wants to find some new limit to push himself to because he's got that mindset that that's what gets you to the NFL.
He's a type A competitor character, right?
You know, there's kind of an Alexander, no worlds left to conquer. Like the dude already like played in the biggest stage in the biggest sport of the game. So now he essentially has to invent stupid challenges to keep his brain calm. I think when you do something that grandiose and stupid, part of you is like, we gotta say we're doing this for women's rights or something. Otherwise, my wife is not gonna let me do this. But if we say, can we put a pussy hat on the end of the boat or something like that? Because if we can do that, we can call it.
Curiously,
it's for the wives. That's who it's for.
It's a four-person team, but it's not a four-man team. It's a couple. It's two dudes and a couple. So there's one woman involved.
Oh, dude, here's the thing. I once went on a canoe trip with me and my best buddy Dave and our best buddy John and his girlfriend at the time. One of the worst decisions ever made in the history of decisions. Don't introduce couple energy into – oh, and my buddy Wes was there too. Yeah, but you don't introduce couples energy into a project or – no, I'm saying woman. Wow. Not a gender thing. No any couples kind of, energy.
You're any kind of any project. Couple of
canoes. Why are you splashing me? Oh, my God. It'd be like, why don't you ride shotgun on this tandem bicycle? Oh, brutal, brutal. They're never coming back. Jimmy Graham's going to drown that dude in the Arctic Sea. Someone's going overboard.
Not to mention it's cold as hell. The Arctic Sea. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That sounds like punishment for murder one.
It also sounds like something you do to get away from your wife.
Yeah.
Again, if I told my wife that was my next project, she'd be like, what did I do so bad? What did I do? What is it around the house?
When I go play cards in the middle of the day, it's all retirees who are just escaping their homes for a few hours.
Yeah. Yeah. It's why when you ever see a guy say his wife's getting into golf, he looks like he just put his dog down or something, you know? The guy's just like, yeah, my wife's been, she goes, you have to learn to play darts now.
We have some other characters joining us online here. Jeff Mannier and Ron Milford, John Riggs, Jerry Oliver. That's cool. Cool to see you guys. You and Mead, Bob Gerster. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us. Matthew Bruss. Matthew Bruss says, love you, Kostaki. I would always read a comment that begins with that. Been a huge fan for years. I'm a Hoosier who has listened to Bob and Tom since 1983. Yeah, those fuckers have been doing this for 40 years now. Can you believe that?
Jeez.
I know, right? That is amazing. All right. Talk to me, my friend. Tell me what to expect from the Kirk Cousins era. Tell me what I'm in for.
But here's the thing. You've been watching Desmond Ridder and whatnot, and then like the sad last year of poor old Matty Ryan, you know, who was not doing great.
Yeah, we've had 3 years of, as I've said, crawling through the desert, thirsty for good quarterback play. So a dirty cup of Cousins water is just such a welcome.
Sure. Well, here's the thing, though. He's good, and he's going to be good again. And it's going to be fun to watch for the most part. And you're going to win a fair amount of games. You're almost certainly going to have a better record than the Vikings this year.
I like
how you get to the playoffs. You might win a game. It'll be cool. I wouldn't expect a ton more than that. Mm-hmm. But then just know that ironically, even though Kirk Cousins looks like the cleanest living dude ever, I mean, maybe a Mick Ultra every now and then.
Right.
Like, there's going to be the Cousins cap hangover, which you're going to have, which the Vikings are getting rid of right now. Because Cousins is a great contract negotiator, and he leaves you in cap hell.
Is nobody has leveraged skills into money better than Kirk Cousins.
I mean, he's brilliant, and he does it all. He does it all while just smiling like a big goof the whole time. But also, I would argue he just bet on himself a bunch of times, and he was right,
and he keeps coming through, and he keeps reemerging into the free market when the world is desperate for a top 15 quarterback, and he's the only one available.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, it was a big deal when he signed with the Vikings because he got what I'm pretty sure was the first fully guaranteed contract.
Yeah,
people thought that was wild that the whole contract was guaranteed. But I mean, yeah, the Achilles went out on him last season. That was not during that contract. That was an extension. So that fully guaranteed contract doesn't look that crazy now. Kirk was just on the vanguard of how to get paid and how much to get paid.
Right. Yeah. I don't think you would look back and regret a Kirk Cousins contract so far. Yeah, I agree.
I still even thought at the time when they signed him to the 1 year extension, I thought if you've got some sort of succession plan in mind, that doesn't seem like enough time. If they would have done the two-year extension, had him one more year in Minnesota, and then they started doing this draft trade-up shenanigans, which it's looking increasingly like they're going to try to trade up, either to get somebody, depending if somebody falls to, you know, who falls to four, they're at six, they might even, you know, that we'll see. But they're sure angling, like, I don't think anybody thinks Sam Darnold's their long-term plan, and next year's rookie quarterback class, from what I understand from reading, I do not watch a lot of college football. It doesn't seem super promising. And they don't, you know what I mean? So seems like now's the time to swing for it. So, yeah, I think we're going to get Will Levis 2024.
Wow.
So they could have just done that last year.
It's such a weird. All right. So here, I have several questions for you. One, have we, just to go, we'll bounce around and come back to the Vikings Cousins situation. But it's connected, because I don't understand why Russell Wilson becomes available. He's got this situation that I don't think we've ever seen before in the NFL, right? The team,
he's like a quarterback on a college town who's standing in the side of the corner next to a couch with a little sign on his chest, like still works.
I know, but it's a weird situation where he's like a crazy bargain. So just to sort of set the scale, Sam Darnold's kind of the bottom of the NFL starter pile. And he's making $10 million a year.
Yeah.
Right? Russell Wilson's making 1.2.
It's hurt to use a starter.
I know. Russell Wilson is making $1.2 million from the team that he's playing for.
I don't get that. And then old Jacoby Brissett got, I think, 8 from New England. And I've had a bunch of people tell me there's no difference between 8 and 10. But, well, there is. It's $2 million. But also, I think Brissett's better than Darnold. If I thought
he's certainly more proven,
the same, I would. But I think Brissett has demonstrated more competence in the NFL than Darnold, no question.
Well, here's the other one. The other choice is Justin Fields, who went for a 6th round pick next year, and it's conditional. It could be a 4th round pick next year, and he's only like $3 million.
Yeah, obviously they were never going to trade Fields to the Vikings. Because I think they know he's too good for that. I mean, if I could have waved a magic wand, I would that trade for Fields. Give it to me right now. Take Fields and then draft somebody else. But I don't think the Bears were ever going to do that.
But all right, so there are a couple. But the Steelers ended up with both of the cheap good quarterbacks
that
were available.
It's crazy.
The Justin Fields one is kind of crazy because of the way the market, and we thought it just sort of got stuck in this weird rut where they just had to get rid of him so that there's not an issue when they draft their big superstar. And Russell Wilson, for those who may not be paying attention to the letter of all this stuff, there's a crazy situation where the Broncos are literally eating $85 million in Russell Wilson money over the next 2 years. And the rule is, well, whoever signs Russell Wilson and pays him, they offset whatever that is. This year, the number is $39 million. So Russell could have gone out there and demanded whatever, $22 million and offset some of it. And he was like, fuck you. And he signed for the league minimum, $1.2 million with the Steelers. And the Denver Broncos are paying him whatever the difference is, $37.5 million, whatever.
Well, you just spoiled my taps, because it's the only thing he's ever done that I thought was funny. For real. It was like, yes, that is, it's like, so wait, so I'm going to get paid exactly the same. Everything's the same for me. Doesn't
change anything.
I can either have my ex-girlfriend pay for everything, or I can have my current girlfriend pay for everything while I hang out with her. Gee, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's gonna go over better.
Yeah, we've never seen this situation before, right?
No, it's great.
He could theoretically do this again next year when I think it's an even bigger number. I think it's $45 million next year.
I bet he will.
It's such a funny situation.
It's hilarious. Because Denver, that was so stupid. It was also stupid to get – it was dumb. And here's the thing. Fields is, I think, going to clearly be the starter over Wilson. I don't think Fields is, like, amazing. But it doesn't seem weird that he starts a football game. I mean, Wilson might be on the – Wilson doesn't seem weird that he's a starter, I guess. But he's pretty disappointing. But truly, like, I mean, Darnold? Darnold? Was like, oh, but he's always on bad teams. Yeah, he's always on bad teams. You know, your buddy is always like, I dated 7 women. I've been engaged to 6 of them. Every one of them was crazy witch. And you're like, okay. So even in 7 relationships, 7 of them were dysfunctional. I'm not saying those weren't bad teams he was on, or that Fields is amazing, but to me, sometimes people get hung up on, people watch too much fantasy sometimes. People get hung up on all these numbers, and it's like, yeah, but I watch a lot of NFC North games, and there's a bunch of games where I was like, oof, man, this would be cool to have without Kirk. You know what I mean? Like when we were Kirkless, and I watched they play the Bears, and I'm like, I could take that guy. You know, I mean, wouldn't compared to like I've never watched a Jets game that I didn't cringe at. You know, I mean, I don't know. I kind of don't understand. And Brissett looks again fine. He looks fine.
So all right, you know, I'm obsessed with
Andy Dalton.
You know, I'm obsessed with this as a concept. Get where does Kirk rank in current NFL quarterbacks in the world?
I mean, it's okay. Big if, are we assuming he's totally fine? Health-wise, the dance, as indicated, when he was dancing around.
We're presuming that. If that doesn't happen, that's on the list of possibilities. But we're sure. When we're ranking him.
We'll return to, at worst, like 80%.
We're ranking a healthy Kirk Cousins.
You never know. But we're gonna assume he's basically the same guy. And also, it's worth noting, dude's a big-time pocket passer, so as long as he's not popping his Achilles again, as long as his ankle stabilizes, it's not like, oh, he's not going to run like he used to. Well, he didn't run that much before anyway, and he never ran that fast to begin with. He's all right.
Right.
On a scramble, but he's not great. I think he's always just somewhere right around the top 10. He's just hanging. He's either pressed against the door, almost getting kicked out of the top 10, or he's the first guy looking through the glass.
Yeah. Yep, but the number I had in my head was 11.
Guys, right? You're like, well, maybe, maybe old boy Williams comes in, and you know he's as good as everyone said Trevor Lawrence was going to be, and instantly waltzes his way into the top 10. Maybe, I don't know, probably not, but maybe. But I mean, I'll take for example, I think I would take Kirk over Trevor Lawrence. I mean, not all things being equal with their age again factored in.
Right, I mean, give me contracts and all the other stuff.
They're close, though. I think Trevor Lawrence he and Kirk are kind of right in that, like, definitely good. Like, for sure good. Kind of hard to say, like, you know, people would say Dak is a lot better than both of those guys. I've always been a little bit of a Dak doubter. I've always thought Dak was right in there with that same classic guys. He just had a little bit of better support around him.
Yeah, he's got a better situation by far.
He's really good, too. He might be – if he's better than those guys, it's a skosh. If any of those guys I think are that much better or worse than each other, it's a very, very, very slim margin, you know. And Fields would be, like, not with them, but, like, not the farthest behind them.
Right.
You know?
Skosh is a good word. Yeah.
There's a few elite guys. I mean, it's almost like there's tier one, which is pretty elite. And some guys are like we think Burrow's in there, but like, let's see when he comes back to make sure he's still in there. You know, your Mahomes is, most people would agree, probably Josh Allen. Whatever, you know, your tippity top guys.
Yeah.
Used to be Rodgers. We'll see. Obviously Brady back in the day, you know.
Yeah.
Tip top guys. But then after that, there's a pretty good middle class, but they're still definitively middle class.
Yeah, I hear you. There's probably another 6 or so that you could easily put ahead of Cousins if you really look.
Yeah, I don't have everybody's names in front of me, but I mean,
it's, you got Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson and
Lamar, obvious for sure.
The quarterback in the Chargers quarterback.
I mean, it's looking like C.J. Stroud. Give him another year. Let's see. I don't know. It's looking pretty good. He's pretty young.
That was a hell of a start. I mean, people are already anointing him. I'm not sure I'm ready to do that.
You know what? People did that with I don't mean to compare other things. Deshaun Watson, you know? I mean, Watson did have a couple of great years, but however you want to factor his outside troubles in, just as a pure on-field thing, if you just take it on field, man, he doesn't pass the eyeball test. The stats aren't looking good. Like, he's not looking like he's going to pan out the way that they thought after those, like, couple of good years.
He deserves it. It's karma, man.
Oh, it's amazing.
He was a total creep, and now he has the Tiger Woods effect where he can feel the hate of the eyeball.
I think there's a world where he wasn't a sex pest and or, sadly, just doesn't get caught, stays playing with the Texans, and still didn't turn out to be the projection. People have such short memories about they remember all the times that somebody looked amazing and then they were, right? Like young Rodgers, you know, Brady once he gets his start going, or, you know, Mahomes was a pretty hot pick early on, whatever. They right. forget how totally confident they were that Kyler Murray was the real deal after like one good year. Or, you know, I mean, really take your pick. It's almost hard. It's a tough exercise because you forget what a long list of, oh, yeah, that guy's going to be, oh, never mind. You know, Tannehill had his little flash. Everybody, so many guys have had one good season or whatever.
Right.
You know, there's a lot more of those guys than there are Matt Stafford's. It was like, good right away, good the whole time. And so I think I'm always hesitant to start tossing around. Like, even people go, you know, oof, well, say what you will, Houston. They got their franchise locked up 15 years. They got locked 15 years to got their franchise. You're like, no.
Yeah, we'll take it easy. That's right.
You know, I hope for Stroud's case they do, because I think that kid's cool, and I like watching him play football.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, so what do you, if you were running the ship, the Vikings ship at this point, what would you do?
I would sell them to Wisconsin. No, that's not true. I would sell them to a state I like better.
Yeah, they're gonna lowball the fuck out of you in Wisconsin.
I do think it would be funny just to move them right over the border. Actually, more of as like a territorial pissing thing. Just like, you know, like all of a sudden we're like the Hudson Vikings. We're right over the border. It's like still all the Minnesota fan base. It essentially would be a Putin-esque maneuver to kind of like take small amounts of territory. Pretty soon, we're next door to Titletown and you're a fucking island, Green Bay. That's my plan. Skull. All right. You can see I'm wearing the shirt too. I've got the
color. Oh, nice. Now, so would you trade up to get one of these like second tier rookie quarterbacks and take a shot that way? That seems to be the buzz, right?
I think, put it this way, what I would do now is not what I would have done. I don't think they should have as soon as Kirk's ankle went out, especially with JJ already being out of the time. Trade, baby, trade. They should have tanked. Not even tanked. That wasn't even tanking. They should have accepted the reality last season.
Right.
Traded away assets when they could get more value for them. Stacked draft capital to be able to for sure move up, if not move up a little farther in this draft. That was like, that was even, I never bought this whole competitive rebuild plan that Quessy talks about. Competitive rebuild is like one of those business terms. It sounds great. And then you're like, yeah, but it doesn't mean anything.
That's just to make sure that the season ticket holders don't disappear for a couple of years.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's like, no. But I mean, it's just like rebuild, man. But that's the Vikings have always had that problem of being stuck in that like pretty good but never great territory that's so frustrating. So I think to me, you go, all right, let's shoot for great fucking hard reboot. So I would have done a harder reboot before, but certainly last season. But at this point, you look at the future, or you trade, or you swap some serious draft capital for a guy you think's free who's around. I mean, if you have a belief in Baker, you know, and you swap a couple of second rounders to get Baker from Tampa or something. I mean, I don't love that answer, but I mean something along those lines. But at this point, knowing that the next year's quarterback draft class is not supposed to be all that great. Well, you have to take a shot at a quarterback. You can't wait 3 years in the wilderness with Sam Darnold and just flailing around for whatever placeholders. Now, that's how you wind up, you know, say we go about the Falcons. They took Desmond Ridder. They drafted wrong, but they took Desmond Ridder. The Vikings have to gamble on somebody now. And unfortunately, the odds are they will lose because look at the track records of the quarterbacks taken, not the forget your pick. I'm talking about the quarterback who is the third or fourth to say fifth or sixth quarterback off the board in the last like whatever 5-10 drafts, pick your poison.
Yeah,
almost always disappointment. Almost the first couple of guys are the elites that you really want. They're the draft picks. They might not pan out either, by the way. You know, Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold, there's a lot of these guys don't pan out,
right?
Mariota, as you know, from all the, a lot of these, or they pseudo pan out and then they don't, whatever. But who rarely pans out to me are the fourth, fifth, sixth quarterback taken, because those guys usually have a wildly inflated draft value because the position value is drafted. But if you were kind of weren't so desperate to gamble, the market was like pure in the sense that like quarterback value wasn't so jacked up, I think you would go, I'm not taking that guy with this high of a pick. He's not really worth that. But right. Just quarterback is that weird bubble. So that's a low risk, or that's a low payoff bet in my thought. Going is gambling on the fourth to sixth quarterback in the draft, any given draft. Like,
I agree. But what
you have to gamble at this point? You have to roll the dice, even if you know the odds are against you.
Take a kid like Michael Penix, who's got a very high ceiling and a very low.
Oh, no, Michael Penix, 100% no, because I edit for a sports website called Zone Coverage, and we write about the Vikings. And never in history has there been more of a nightmare for copy editors than a guy named Penix. Because let me tell you what your computer wants to do. You try to type in Penix, I've already caught like 4 or 5 autocorrect Michael Penises and Michael Penix Juniors. In our draft coverage, on our pre-draft coverage, we have this guy. I'm going to have to make all my writers do a find replace of penis on every single article.
He's not even a giant name yet. It's so funny.
Well, he gets bigger as time goes on, is what I hear. Apparently, he's a grower. No, it's my nightmare that they draft Penix. And I don't know anything about him as a quarterback, and I don't care. I don't want Penix. Just give me a guy with a name that people are going to mistype in a funny way.
Watch some clips, man. He might be the best pure thrower in this class. He's an interesting kid. He's got a low floor, but he's got a high ceiling, and he's got some injury history. He's like blown out. He's had more than one ACL tear already.
Yeah, as a Vikings, because the Vikings, I think, is a sneaky underrated injury plague team. Like, we've lost so many quarterbacks to long-term injuries because, like, we would lose Bradford, and then we would lose Bradford's replacement. You know what I mean? Like, we really, because, like, it's not even that it was always guys who just sucked so bad they swapped him out, which we've had that too. But a lot of times it was just like, he got broke.
All right, let's do this.
Now it's time for which comes first.
My autocorrect.
Oh, that it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
Which comes first, Brian Miller, the end of the Cousins era in Atlanta or the beginning of a franchise quarterback era in Minnesota?
I think Cousins will play for at least 3 years in Atlanta. At least. So
it's really kind of a 2-year deal. The way people have talked about it, $180 million, 4 years, that's crazy. It's $100 million guaranteed, and it's very front-loaded. So you could have him for 2 years and cut him for
Here's the thing. I mean, and maybe they'll have a good – depends on how smart they are about their succession plan. But I think here's the – Kirk has that magic. If I know one thing about Kirk, he plays just well enough to tempt you into more.
Yeah, that's, of course,
magic sauce.
That's how he do. That's what number 11 does.
And he's a clean living dude. He's old, but he's not that old. Because he's 36 now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
I think he plays 3 years in Atlanta. So I think do the Vikings find a franchise quarterback? Are we talking Patrick Mahomes? Probably not. Probably no one will. Statistically, 4 teams will have a quarterback that good in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so there's that. But I mean, do they find a guy that like actually starts games for them and seems pretty solid and, you know, maybe pans out, maybe he doesn't. Who knows? But I think in the next 3 years, because I think they'll take a shot with whoever this kid is, whoever they get this year. And that doesn't work out. I think they take another big shot sooner rather than later.
Right.
But that's me being kind of hopeful, because even if Cousins plays 2 years, only 2 years, means the Vikings aren't going to even be maybe interesting for two to full years going into, you know, they'll be worth watching again in 27.
Right.
That sucks.
Yeah, I know, right? That's the thing. I mean, And they've also created all these other problems for themselves with the talk of disgruntled wide receivers and all these. I mean, I would have just paid the Cousins ransom and kept him for now and figured it out, you know. But I understand he's a
rich. That cap hill.
And the injury and the money and the, you know. And, you know, you kind of, after he's your guy, you feel like you can't get past a certain ceiling that's not as high as you want it to. I mean, I understand all the other side of it, but.
I think the worst thing they would have done was sign him for one more year now at this point. I think if they had that on lockdown, because then they could have got JJ back on board. The worst thing they could have done was one more year, because you're just further kicking the pain down the road, which they've been doing for too long. I think you either bite the bullet and go, you know what? This year's draft class, we're not getting a great quarterback out of. Next year's draft class, they don't look so hot right now. We'll see. We're not even going to worry about the next two draft classes. We're going to start worrying about it in year three when we start drafting guys, or we'll take a flyer on somebody next year, but we'll really start looking the year after. You know, that you actually look at like a three-year window where, like, we're going to play Kirk for three more years and he's going to retire.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that's the way to go, but I think if you're going to do it, commit. I mean, and that's the thing. The Vikings have been 1 foot on one side of the fence and 1 foot on the other side for so long. It's like, I am glad they look like they're moving toward a commitment, toward a strategy, as opposed to straddling the fence.
Right. Now, you know, we do quizzes here sometimes. We don't expect you to know the answer to this. You might have actually stumbled onto some of this in your recent work.
I do stumble sometimes.
Writing for the Vikings. But we try to pick interesting subjects. And I just happened to see this article. And so let's do a little of this.
All right, kids. Put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
It has come as no surprise. The Cousins is among the highest earning players in NFL history. Monday's deal, blah, 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 Passed a couple of people with Monday's deal, the way they count this kind of stuff, because it's $100 million guaranteed. So they add that to the career earnings immediately on the list. I'm looking at a list of the all-time NFL career earners heading into 2024. Current contracts are included, the guaranteed part.
Okay. But the whole, as though they've gotten the whole thing because it's guaranteed.
Right. That's the way they have it. So Cousins is particularly high on this list because it's new money and it's big money and it's guaranteed money. And he had a pretty good run up until now too. So, so it's kind of crazy how high he is on the list. Would you care to guess who's number one on this list?
Career.
All-time NFL career earnings. Now this is not advertising money.
Advertising.
So. This is not endorsements and tennis shoe ads.
Well, okay. Let me do a little quick math here. So there's the thought of Tom Brady famously didn't get huge contracts, but then you just go, but he played for so long, but the money's gotten so much bigger. And if we're casting into the future, these future contracts are super big. I think you got to think Rodgers is really high on the list. Because he's got the combo of longevity and big new money contracts. I think Deshaun Watson is frustratingly high up the list because of all that guaranteed money that he got in Cleveland.
I think
number – and Mahomes, obviously, I mean, did his deal come through, or are they still waiting on his new next deal? That's what I can't remember.
Oh, I think he's on the prior – break the bank deal right now.
I think he is. Because I think his next one is going to be like, truly, I think it's going to be like a half bill. Like, it's going to be nuts.
Right.
But he doesn't have it yet.
Right.
And he hasn't been around that long.
This is all very good reasoning.
Rodgers, Brady, Cousins, Watson.
Curiously, there is no Tom Brady on this top 10 list.
See, I wondered about that, though, because the numbers get so – the cap is swollen so much. That really tells you something, that the guy who was the biggest deal for that long
I know
it isn't is even on the list.
Inconceivable that he's not on this list.
See, that's why it was bugging me, because I was like, how much was Tom Brady making in 2004? He's probably making like $6 million.
He did work for less than market value as a regular
– sure. But the money, so the scale down, his market value,
But he played for 23 years.
I know. That's why it's just the numbers, the sheer.
How is he not on this list?
He's appeared in like, I don't remember. I used to do the math every year just for funsies. It was like he's appeared in like 9.5% of all Super Bowls or something. I mean, it's like, or maybe it was like at one point it was double digits. It's like, what?
Yeah, it's insane. So he's not on this list. Deshaun Watson, not on this list.
Oh.
But your reasoning led you to the right answer, which I think you would land on if I gave you a little more space here. Aaron Rodgers is currently number one on
life. I had a number one, yeah.
So $342.5 million is the most.
How much?
$342 million.
$342. Yeah, that's going to get eclipsed pretty soon, though, I think.
So Kirk Cousins is currently second on this list if you count the $100 million guaranteed that he just signed last week. So that moved him to 332.
Wow.
And it bumped him ahead of Stafford and Wilson.
I would not have. Well, Stafford's a good example of, you know, I should have thought of Stafford because, again, you got to, he has gotten some pretty decent, pretty good sized contracts. But he's sneaky around for a while, that the combination.
One, the one thing we forget about Stafford, I think he was the last number one overall pick before the rookie wage scale. So he made a truckload of money as he was exiting the University of Georgia.
So he kind of got the best of both worlds because he got the last big rookie thing and he's getting the modern, like, bonkers.
And then he got the big piles of cash later, right?
Well, because, by the way, Darnold's playing for $10 million for the Vikings. I mean, how many years did Tom Brady make more than $10 million? I bet it wasn't as many as you think.
Oh, that's a good question. Right, because in the early days, it wasn't the numbers.
They just didn't pay anybody that much. And he wasn't quite yet, you know. It was crazy. Funny. He like became Tom Brady, and then he became, like, capital letters Tom Brady.
And the rest of this list, there's a big drop-off to fifth place, but the rest of this list is insanely no one you would ever guess in a million years. You want to take a few swings?
No, I'm curious. I mean, no idea.
Ryan Tannehill, number five. What? Von Miller, Joe Flacco, Trent Williams, Ndamukong Suh, Derek Carr.
Oh, see, I thought this was only quarterbacks, but... That's pretty impressive.
I can't believe any non-quarterbacks could crack a top 10 list of all-time piles of money. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
there's two of them on here. Offensive lineman and crazy edge rusher. Kirk Cousins
is the second most. He's earned the second most of money just from the NFL of anybody in the NFL.
That's absurd.
That's wild.
I know, right? It's crazy. Good for him.
Mahomes, seriously, though. That new Mahomes contract. Oh, boy. I mean, there's literally not a world that where they don't re-sign Mahomes. But there's also not a world where if he were to get any remotely close to, like, being a potential free agent, I mean, somebody would offer him, be like, we're going to write your name on the moon.
Yeah,
that's right. You know, I mean, so, yeah. Like.
He is the face of the modern NFL.
It's crazy. I mean, it's not even close. You know, I realize that he has hit a really important stage in his career, which is backlash. People are all kind of down on him, his wife, and I think he's too cocky or whatever. And I was like, right. Oh, he's done nothing wrong. He's the same dude he's always been.
Right.
He was just so good for so long that people are starting to hate him a little bit.
You're tired of him beating your team in the playoffs.
Welcome to this mega superstar club, my friend. You are the best quarterback in the world.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, he's sharing kooky theories on Instagram or like driving his Corvette into fountains at the Bellagio. Or, I mean, you know, it's like he's literally, I think when they show footage of his wife taking their children to soccer games, she's got attitude.
Yeah, I know, right? That is the biggest one. His brother is a flake. All right.
Yeah, like, by the way, who doesn't have a sibling who's a flake?
Yeah.
All my siblings do.
His dad's drinking and driving.
Yeah. Again, who amongst us doesn't have a dad or an uncle with a Dewey or two? It's like, I don't know. Was your dad a major league pitcher?
I agree. That's really proof that you have to really stretch to complain about this guy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, he's cool, man. He seems like a pretty good dude.
Yeah, he's great. He's exactly what you want. He's diplomatic and kind off the field, and on the field, he's a competitive lunatic. He's
perfect. I love the crazy that he gets in his eyes a little bit.
Oh yeah.
In the game. That's what you want, you know.
You woke up the wrong motherfucker. Oh, that clip on quarterbacks when Max Crosby like fucks with him the whole game and he finally snaps.
Oh, that's
like
the coolest. Yeah. Oh my God. But that's what you'll never get from Cousins. His Cousins is the
you don't have that gear.
That's always the thing. He doesn't quite have that. He's so logical or something. So like grounded. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite, I was just thinking about old Andrew Luck the other day. I loved Andrew Luck. But they said that he had this like crazy schoolboy energy where like he was like really aggressive but really positive. And I remember this some lineman said like you'd hit him and he'd be like pop back up and he'd be like, oh man, that was a great hit. And he said it was so dispiriting because you could tell that he was like genuine in his compliment of you. You're like, I thought it just really hurt that guy. And he's just like, oh, you're good at your job. All right, I'm gonna go back to my team now. I like that too. I was just thinking the other day because I read somebody saying something about all the tragedy of Andrew Luck leaving or whatever, which did suck because it was fun to watch. But I'm like, he's like reading Lord of the Rings on the rim of a volcano right now or something. Like, I think
he's living a good life. Yeah, he's a thoughtful, happy dude. He made a pile of money. He's fine.
Yeah.
He left while he could still walk. That's good.
Yeah, his knees still work. His brain still works. He's still young. Good for Andrew Luck.
Yeah, it's a pretty good run. And maybe don't retire during the preseason. That's all. That's all we have.
Maybe. But think about it. People liked him so much that people even kind of forgot about that, even though, like, I still remember seeing that news and being like, what?
The timing is a little rough.
Yeah. But that's kind of the classic, you could have told me before the rehearsal dinner that the wedding was off.
Yes,
you
know, that's like, right. Yes.
By the way, I don't know if you ever. My wife and I did this, and we agreed when we got engaged that we would have a 2-week warning, like a 2-minute warning for a football game, and then it was mandatory to have the discussion. And like 2 weeks before the wedding, we were like, all right, for real, for real, for real. Like, you can back out now. Like, now, for both of us.
Now, it's the last chance you're allowed.
Yeah. The 2 weeks that it was like, I swear to God, we can still date if you want. We can still whatever, but like, if you're worried, if you want to back out, no harm, no foul, but you got to do it now. You can't do it while we got the shrimp on ice.
There's no foul for backing out 2 weeks before the wedding?
I think there should be. I think everybody
should
have.
You've already paid for the location and all your relatives have already bought plane tickets.
Here's the thing. I think it has to be close enough to the wedding to like really let it sink in. Because the whole thing is that people think it's a good idea until it's about to happen.
Right.
On those 2 weeks, people's plane tickets, they can still get, cash them in for miles or, voucher or whatever. Catering deposit, the roast beef hasn't been cooked. You know what I mean?
Well, all right.
That to me was like, that was our bubble. But apparently my mother-in-law took my wife out, we were in like a winery out near the vineyards or whatever for a little walk. And she was like, he seems nice and I'm cool. But if you want to go, she's like, we can get in the car and drive. which she apologized for later a little bit, but I was like, oh, that's cool, man. Like, if that's what she wanted to do, better to find out then, even still,
That's somewhat more revealing about the mother-in-law's life and feelings and thoughts.
She's a cool lady, man. I think it's a fun thumbs up in her category. I think that's freewheeling, man. That's good.
I get it.
I dig it. She told me, so I always felt a little bad about that afterwards. And I was, or not like years later, because we've been I was like, no, I think it's a good idea, honestly.
Yeah, you're taking care of your own. I get it.
It'd be kind of a great way to start a movie. Kind of a Thelma and Louise runaway bride hybrid.
A road trip thing with mom and the that's right.
You got the veil flopping out the window in the back. We already got the poster and everything.
This is my favorite thing about having you as a guest. I always look at the clock and I'm like, we're out of time. It's great, man. Time flies, man. It's good.
My therapist says the same thing.
Is there anything you want to plug? Anything we can direct folks to for Brian?
Let's see. I'm gonna be at a theater in Detroit next week with Eastmo, but I think it's sold out.
I wanted to ask you about that. I have to ask you off the air.
Yeah. And I'm doing a thing with Vikings fans. I'm gonna be at an event with Common Man, Dan the Common Man Cole, who's a huge sports commentator here. It's at some joint in Apple Valley. If you Google Dan Common Man Cole Apple Valley, it's not this coming Saturday, but it's two Saturdays from now. I guess I think it's like the last Saturday in March.
Okay.
But I'm gonna be. Common Man does like a spiel. It's kind of like sports TED Talk with comedy involved. And I'm gonna do like 20 minutes of jokes to open for him. He's a cool guy. I really like him. So Vikings fans, especially, come on out. Apple Valley, couple of weeks. Me and Dan, the Common Man, Cole.
No, that's cool. All right, and come find me on the road. I'm in Iowa this week. Then I'm doing Napa, New Buffalo, Michigan, Peoria for the big taping, North Platte, Nebraska. We'll see you out there, folks. Thanks so much for listening. We love it. We appreciate it. We're in about once a month mode here in the off season, so we'll talk to you around the draft. Andreas and I are going to that, so we'll figure out, we may do a podcast either just before or just after that. Take it easy. We'll talk to you soon.